Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Thanks for listening today. The Occupy Wall Street movement is about greed and inequality. But in lower Manhattan, it's also becoming about the rules of occupation, like how many hours you can play the drums in a residential neighborhood and when to march by the hundreds without a permit. Hundreds of Occupy Wall Street protesters spent about 3 hours on the move last night, marching from Zuccotti Park to City Hall and back to show solidarity with the Oakland, California protesters who got hit with tear gas by police on Monday night. One of those Oakland protesters, an Iraq war vet, wound up in critical condition. Here's one of the New York protesters last night.
There's a lot of anger in this protest. It's crazy. It's just a show of how much the people want to come together and support each other.
If they feel the need to physically assault people because they've temporarily blocked traffic for people who will be able to go afterwards, then that's fine. I have no problem with that. The real question is what we're going to do about police departments that literally put someone in the hospital.
A couple of the Occupy Wall Street protesters on the march in New York last night, sound courtesy of New York One. Also on Monday night, Community Board One in Lower Manhattan, I guess it was Tuesday night, held a meeting about noise and sanitation around Zuccotti Park. It was their 11th meeting, I read, about Occupy since the encampment was established on September 17th. Community Board One Chair Julie Menon joins us now to talk about relations between Occupy Wall Street and local residents. Hi, Julie. Welcome back to WNYC.
Oh, hi, Brian. Thanks so much for having me on today.
Is that number accurate? You've had 11 meetings of Community Board One about Occupy Wall Street?
Yes, that number is correct. We've had 11 meetings in the last 4 weeks, and the meetings have been productive in the sense that it gives everyone an opportunity to be able to voice their opinion. We had a community board meeting on Tuesday night, our full board meeting, where we voted on a resolution that passed 33-3 in favor of Occupy Wall Street's First Amendment right to protest and First Amendment right to assemble, but also at the same time saying that we want some of the quality of life issues regarding noise and sanitation and public safety to be proactively addressed, and that we don't feel the two are mutually exclusive.
How do you feel that noise and sanitation concerns are negatively impacting the neighborhood?
Well, one of the issues that we've heard from a lot of residents and small businesses in the area was basically the late-night drumming. So about 4 or 5 weeks ago, we started to hear from residents and small businesses who would come to the community board meetings and talk about the drumming late at night, particularly families who have young kids that live adjacent to Zuccotti Park. And as a result of that, we had a number of meetings, and about a week and a half ago, Manhattan Borough President Scott Stringer and State Senator Daniel Squadron and some of the other electeds and community board One announced that Occupy Wall Street had adopted a good neighbor policy that addressed some of the community concerns, namely the drumming late at night. So the good neighbor policy then limits the drumming to several hours during the day.
And that's been stuck to. I read one article that said after your resolution, the Zuccotti Park folks passed their own resolution deciding that 4 hours a day was a fairer limit than 2 hours a day. How has that actually worked out?
Yes, they adopted a resolution for 4 hours during the day, and that was discussed at the community board meeting on Tuesday night. And it's my understanding from hearing from people in the neighborhood that now the 4 hours is being agreed to. But it's definitely something that is a moving target in the sense that we understand that residents in the neighborhood are concerned about the noise. And so that is why we've had these 11 meetings to try to hear from them and to also at the same time honor the First Amendment right to protest and try to bring all the parties together to have a real dialogue on those issues.
If you've had to have 11 meetings in a month and a week, is there resentment on your board that Occupy Wall Street is occupying so much of your time?
Well, actually, to the contrary, the meeting on Tuesday night was very supportive of the First Amendment right to protest. I mean, Brian, we're a very tolerant community. You have to remember this is also the neighborhood that stood up firmly in favor of the Islamic Cultural Center and Mosque and voted firmly in favor of that. We've also are very used to protests in the neighborhood and because we're proximate to City Hall. This protest is obviously very, very different in the sense that it's 24 hours a day, and so that presents unique challenges that must be proactively addressed. So sanitation is a primary concern of residents and small businesses in the neighborhood. Because there are no bathroom facilities that are provided, we're hearing a lot from residents and small businesses who are very concerned about sanitation issues, and we're urging the city to address it. The other issue we're hearing a lot about is the police barricades. The NYPD has put barricades all over the financial district that basically prevent residents and workers from getting into their buildings. We don't understand that. We don't understand why there have to be so many barricades and this feeling that our community is basically in lockdown mode.
Are you getting any satisfaction or response from the city on sanitation and police barricades?
We're starting to have those conversations now. I mean, before this day that we had 11 meetings and the city was not a part of those meetings. So one of the things that our resolution calls for is for all the stakeholders, the city, Brookfield, the protesters, the community, all the elected officials to come together to work collaboratively and collectively together on these issues.
Julie Menon, chair of Community Board 1. Anybody want to call in who lives or works in the downtown area on how you feel as a neighbor of the Zuccotti Park encampment? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Call us. We've had so many call-ins for people from Occupy Wall Street. This one is going to be for the neighbors of Occupy Wall Street. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 for Julie Menon from Community Board 1. And boy, Julie, for a local community board, you sure do get caught up in some pretty global issues. If people think community board life is about like a building permit here or a cat stuck in a tree there, you had the Islamic Cultural Center controversy, like you said. You had the Obama plan for a trial in Lower Manhattan for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Do you feel like America's community board or the culture wars community board?
Well, sometimes we do in the sense that we feel the eyes of the world are watching Lower Manhattan. We've got to remember that obviously we were the place where the nation first had their first capital. And so many of the large issues of the day have centered around Lower Manhattan, certainly related to 9/11, related to the trial of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and getting that trial moved out of New York City, the strong opinions that existed regarding the Islamic Cultural Center and mosque. And we do believe that the community board is very much, community boards all over the city are grassroots democracy, and it's a wonderful chance to be able to have voices heard, to have a diversity of opinion, and hopefully come out with some consensus as we did on Tuesday night at our community board meeting.
Did you witness any of the march last night? The New York Times is estimating about 500 people marched from Zuccotti Park to City Hall and back to show solidarity with protesters who were tear gassed and in one case critically injured in a clash with police in Oakland. Now, for a while, many of the New York protesters last night were disregarding police orders to stay on the sidewalk and were running through the streets of Soho and the Village in what the Times calls a cat-and-mouse game with police. Did you see any of that personally?
Well, I was down in Zuccotti Park several times during the day yesterday, so I did not witness that, but I have been in the park many times and will continue to do so because what we do want to do, we have a very open dialogue with the folks at Occupy Wall Street, and we also want to at the same time make sure that we proactively address any community concerns as they arise.
Did the community or anyone that you know of feel that it was too out of control last night?
We have not received comments yet in the community board office about that. And one of the things that we found is we tend to hear from people all across the city, not just people who live and work in Lower Manhattan. I mean, Occupy Wall Street is something that has captured the nation's attention. And one of the things that we hope emanates from this is productive conversations about how to create more jobs in the country. So one of the things that we have talked about is, of course, urging the city to create new job centers to help people find jobs. and help with training for jobs. We also are encouraging the passage of President Obama's jobs bill, which will actually create large-scale infrastructure projects that will create new jobs in addition to giving states money to hire new teachers and other individuals. So we do hope that what Occupy Wall Street has raised is something that will lead to increased action.
Barbara in the Financial District, you're on WNYC. Hello, Barbara.
Hi. I live two blocks away on John Street, and I am 100% behind all the people at Zuccotti Park. I, on the other hand, live on a block where large corporations such as SL Green, the Transit Hub, the government, and Con Edison work practically 24 hours a day and make noise that's horrendous. They have managed to get rid of lots of businesses, and residents have moved. I've worked very hard with everyone, and still, Con Edison, we have noise 5 days a week, and on the weekend, Con Edison stays from all day, and Monday night and Tuesday night, they work from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. Those are not addressed. Everyone is focused there. It's amazing.
All right, and I don't want to dwell on this too much, but Julie, do you agree that there's so much focus on what's here temporarily, which is this encampment, and not enough on the ongoing structural irritants to the neighbors?
Oh, absolutely. I definitely agree with what Barbara is saying, because we've got to remember that we're not even in the peak construction years for Lower Manhattan. A lot of people think, well, because the memorial is open or because they see other parts of the World Trade Center site built, we haven't even entered the peak construction year. The peak construction year for all of the Lower Manhattan redevelopment projects is 2013. So that is when we're going to feel the most effects. And that is why, for example, we feel that we need the Lower Manhattan Construction Command Center to remain in existence, to be able to serve as a centralized agency to address these kinds of quality of life issues. I encourage Barbara to please contact the community board. We're happy to look into that situation in particular, but we hear so many complaints from residents in the financial district about constant jackhammering at the World Trade Center site. Some of that jackhammering, and we just had a meeting on this yesterday with the Port Authority, is going to 2 a.m., which is just too long, and it's really causing major quality of life issues for people
You need a drumming agreement with them.
Yes, exactly.
Stephen in Wall Street. You're on Wall Street. You're on WNYC. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Brian. Really pleasure. By the way, the community board one represents everything goodness, fair, and just, and how the system really should work by talking to the other side and then being fair and understanding. But my point is, I think Occupy Wall Street is making a great statement, but I believe that they will lose its impact if they stay in New York any longer. They should move on to Washington, D.C., the seat of the government, to deal with all the rules, regulations, and laws that have really benefited the one percenters. And I believe that if they stay longer in New York, New York is not going to make a difference right now. It's going to cause more problems than they need, and they need to have new energy at the nation's capital.
Stephen, thank you. Well, Julie, maybe this is out of your bailiwick as chair of Community Board 1 in a neighborhood in Lower Manhattan at the neighborhood level, but do you think the protesters are losing control of their message? If this is supposed to be about inequality and how people are taxed and behave in the marketplace, now it's becoming about protester and police behavior in Oakland, whether the New York protesters should play the drums for 2 hours or 4 hours or have to clear out for the owner to clean out the park. I'm not sure this is the path to finance reform or political success.
Well, one of the really interesting things, Ryan, here to note is the number of press articles that have been written on income inequality. We're seeing more press coverage of income inequality than we have ever seen.
And people agree with the framing of the issue, as Occupy has it, for the most part.
Right, and that is something that is incredibly important to focus on that. Also, the issue of the millionaire's tax, which you see in polls in New York, has widespread support. A new poll came out today indicating that. Our community board has been on record twice as urging the extension of the millionaire's tax to offset devastating cuts to public education and health care, and to use that $4 billion that would be realized if the millionaire's tax was extended next year specifically to address issues such as schools and health care.
Mickey in Battery Park City, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mickey.
How how are you, sir? How you doing?
Good, thank you. Thank you.
Listen, I live in Battery Park City, and I'm also in that neighborhood by Zuccotti Park all the time because I do volunteer work up there. And you keep referring to it as a residential neighborhood, but there's no residence. There's barely any residences there. You have one Liberty Plaza, you have Chase Plaza, and they have another office building surrounding it. You got a couple of small buildings, loft buildings that a few people live in, and that's
right.
it.
Well,
so these people are not hearing drums all night. I hang out at O'Hara's Pub around the corner. It's a block away on Cedar Street.
Yeah.
And when you're out there, I go out and smoke cigarettes, and you cannot hear the drumming.
Julie, how would you characterize it? It's certainly you know, Lower Manhattan, Tribeca, even the Wall Street area, certainly a fast-growing residential neighborhood in recent years. But in the immediate area of Zuccotti Park, does Mickey have a point which makes all of this a little bit moot?
Well, actually, Lower Manhattan is the fastest-growing residential neighborhood in the city of New York. We have 30,000 new residents that have moved into Community Board 1 since 9/11. And the area of the most growth is actually in the financial district, whose population has tripled in the last 5 years.
The fastest-growing property values in the city, too, like in the last decade, right?
Right. So the residents that turned out to some of the community board meetings lived on Liberty Street and Cedar Street. That's where we saw most of the complaints. And what we really tried to do with the community board resolution that resoundingly passed the community board on Tuesday night was uphold the right to protest and say to the residents and small businesses, we're also going to work to proactively address quality of life concerns as they arise. And that's what we're focused on right now.
So before you go, the protesters aren't just policy-focused, as we know. They say they want to change the culture. They want less greed. They want people to be nicer to each other. One of their signs that has gotten a lot of attention says, I care about you. By that standard, what kind of neighbors would you say they have made?
Well, the fact that we have had 11 meetings with them, I think, is a testament to the fact that there is a real willingness to have that kind of dialogue. Because there is no one leader of Occupy Wall Street, that is also why we've had more meetings, because whatever concerns residents in the neighborhood have raised that have been raised with Occupy Wall Street, they then take it back to the General Assembly. The good neighbor policy that resulted from the work of Borough President Stringer and Senator Squadron, other elected officials, and the community board talks about the kind of neighbor that Occupy Wall Street wants to be. It talks about the sanitation issues. It talks about zero tolerance for alcohol and drug use in the park. That is a policy that Occupy Wall Street adopted, their own good neighbor policy. So I think that it's been so important to have these kinds of dialogues. We appreciate that Occupy Wall Street folks have come to all of these different community board meetings, and we look forward to continuing the dialogue moving forward.
Julie Menon, the chair of Community Board 1 in Lower Manhattan, thank you so much for coming on with us. We appreciate it a lot.
Thanks so much for having me.
And that's it for today's show. We thank Mian Levinson filling in at the audio controls today. Tomorrow, among other things, we'll ask, will you get your son an HPV vaccine? Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Thanks for listening.